Happy Valentine's Day. Have you gotten that special someone a bunch of flowers, box of candy, or a balloon or two? Hi, I'm Rob West. Valentine's Day can be a great time to express love to your spouse or sweetheart, but do you always need to spend money to do it? Dr. Gary Chapman joins us today to talk about love and money. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, Dr. Gary Chapman, is certainly well known. He's the best-selling author of The Five Love Languages and Now You're Speaking My Language. Dr. Chapman, great to have you back with us.
Well, thank you, Rob. It's good to be with you.
And a very appropriate day, given the subject matter you write on very frequently. Let me ask you, how should the five love languages play into gift-giving at Valentine's Day?
Well, I think for one thing, you need to know whether or not your spouse's love language is gifts. If it is, you best do it well.
That's right.
But if it's not their primary, it's not as important. But I think because it's a national holiday celebrating love, I wouldn't let it pass by if I were you in a marriage without doing something to express love on Valentine's Day. The other thing I would say, Rob, don't be disappointed if you do something really, you think it's just really exciting and your spouse doesn't have the response you want them to have. Because if gifts is not their love language, they may not respond as happily as you think they should respond. So don't be disappointed, and don't criticize them for that.
Yeah, especially if you're a gift giver, that's your love language personally. You might expect them to reciprocate, but if it's not, you're not going to get the same result, right?
That's exactly right.
That's great. Now, in your work as a pastor and a counselor, Dr. Chapman, how often do you see money become a challenge in marriage, even an obstacle to healthy communication?
Well, you know, a lot of research indicates that differences over money is one of the biggest conflicts we have in a relationship. And I found that, too, in my own marriage. And in the early days of our marriage, it was one of those things. Of course, we didn't have any money when we first got married. But we still had problems on what to do with what little we had.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think through the years, I've counseled a lot of people for whom that was a problem. You know, one that I remember was pretty huge. When they got married, you know, her preference was to live in an apartment for several years and save up money to buy, you know, a larger house that they would really like to have. No, his idea was get the big house now because things are going to be much more expensive 2 or 3 years from now.
Yes.
Well, she finally acquiesced, you know, and went with that, and they bought the big house, and they're back in my office now 2 years after they bought the house. And she's saying, Dr. Chapman, we got rooms we don't even have furniture in. Mm. And she said, the other thing is I haven't bought a new dress in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I can't buy anything. I just feel like we're strapped because we bought this house, you know.
Yes.
I had to help them think through, you know, what's more important, your relationship or the house you live in?
Yeah.
And I reminded them what Jesus said. Life's meaning is not found in the things that we possess.
Yes. Yes.
Life's meaning is found in relationships. First of all, with God and then with each other.
Mm. That's so good. And so often, Dr. Chapman, you know, we come from obviously different backgrounds. Money was handled differently. One might come where money was plentiful, the other a family that struggled financially. That plays into it as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, our background and what we experienced growing up, as well as our personality, you know, because some people are savers and some people are spenders. And, you know, we all have different personalities, different concepts. Listen, you will never marry someone that you don't have conflicts with. For one reason, God made us, and God doesn't make any two things alike. Mm. We're told every snowflake is different.
Yes.
The person you marry is going to be different. So, yeah, we're going to have conflicts over money as well as a lot of other things in life. We have to learn how to solve those conflicts without arguing and trying to put the other person down and demean the other person.
Yeah, it's so important. Well, when we come back from our first break here today, we'll give you some thoughts. Dr. Chapman will give you some thoughts on how do you find that common ground? What are some of the keys to working together to have that growing marriage? And then specifically, what facilitates healthy communication around money in marriage? Well, here on Valentine's Day, we're talking money and marriage with Dr. Gary Chapman. We'll continue to talk about the love languages as well. There's five of them. Do you know your spouse's love language? You need to. Dr. Chapman will unpack those for you a bit as well. We're celebrating Valentine's Day here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Much more to come just around the corner, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Over the last 19 years, we have traveled the country to love and serve the brokenhearted by helping them rebuild their homes after natural disasters. Today, we're ready and excited to announce 8 Days of Hope 20 is happening March 9th to March 16th in Amory, Mississippi. Last year in March, Amory saw an EF3 tornado come through the town and damage thousands of homes, and there was even loss of life. And now we as the body of Christ get a chance to serve this community again through March 9th through March 16th. You're invited. It's free. We provide food and lodging, and there's something for everyone. Can you bring your family? Yes, you can. During the outreach, we're also going to have a special night of worship with Darren Mulligan from We Are Messengers, Ben Fuller, and Jonathan Traller at a free concert for the volunteers and the families alike. Please join us. All the information is on our website, 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We compartmentalize our faith, don't we? That's what we do on Sunday. The rest of the time, we do other things. But that's not the way the early Christians lived. Their job was an add-on to their real ministry, which was to live for Christ. That's what I hope we can begin to see happen.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Everything You Need, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's Valentine's Day, and we're celebrating that with our good friend, Dr. Gary Chapman. He's the author of The Five Love Languages, and Now You're Speaking My Love Language, among many other books. In fact, Dr. Chapman, we were talking before the program today. Your latest book just came out. I'm incredibly excited about it. Share that with our listeners.
Yeah, it's applying the five love languages to adopted children. The title is Loving Adopted Children Well. We think it's going to, and I wrote it with a co-author who has two adopted children and who teaches at Liberty University in the counseling department. So we're excited about this book.
Very good. Well, it's going to be a great resource, I know, for a lot of folks. Well, we talked before the break, Dr. Chapman, about the differences that we each bring as a married couple to the marriage relationship. In one of your books, You're Speaking My Love Language, you write about the importance of couples identifying their differences, and you make the comparison of coach versus first-class thinkers. Tell us what those are and how they cause challenges.
I don't know. How about you fly, Rob? But, you know, there's a difference in coach and first class.
Yes, there is.
And so people have those ideas. You know, first class thinkers, They always want the best of everything, you know, the best shirt, the best dress, the most expensive, whatever, you know. Whereas the coach who thinks like, you know, the sitting in a coach, they're thinking, looking for a bargain. You know, the difference often arises when they're buying a car. You know, one of them wants all the things that I can get on this car. The other's looking for simplicity and a little less price.
Yes.
So, you know, understanding the fact that we do have these different concepts in terms of marriage is very, very important as we focus on making money an asset to our marriage rather than a liability.
Yes. Now, the goal, I would imagine, is not to make a coach thinker a first-class thinker and vice versa. And if it's not about changing our spouse, what is the key to finding common ground?
Well, I think they have to come to, first of all, understand the fact that it's okay for us to have different perspectives on this. But remember, we're a team. So we want to hear each other out, and we want to focus on, okay, we're going to have different opinions now. Let's hear it out, you see. I remember one couple, you know, he before they got married, he'd take her out to these nice meals and all this kind of stuff. And she thought, man, this is wonderful. This guy just really loves me, you know. It was okay, you know. After they got married, he would take her out to a restaurant, and she would always order the cheapest thing on the menu. And one time he said to her, I don't understand it. And why do you always order the cheapest thing on the menu? And she said, well, I just want to save us some money. You know, she's thinking coach, you know,
yes.
Save us some money. He said, yeah, but you make me feel like, you know, that I can't afford to buy you a good meal. He said, I want to buy you a good meal. So she called the waiter and said, waiter, change mine. I want the filet mignon.
He got his wish.
But you see, she didn't understand. Yeah. That her ordering the cheapest thing on the menu was not an asset for him. It was a negative for him. It was like, you know, she feels like I can't support her. I can't give her something nice, you know. Once she found out that, she changed her mind and got the filet.
That's right. And had a great meal. Well, communication is obviously critical when it comes to any facet of our marriage, but that certainly includes this area of money. So what have you found in your years of counseling couples as some of the keys to healthy communication, specifically in this area of money management?
You know, I think the first thing is to learn to listen to each other. As we've said already, we're going to have conflicts over money and other things, but learn to listen. And what I mean by listening is not just, you know, sitting there while they talk, thinking about what you're going to say.
Right.
I'm thinking about, put yourself in their shoes. Realize they have a different background from you. They have different perspectives. Let them share their thoughts, and you try to look at the world through their eyes so that you can honestly say, and ask questions if you need to, you can honestly say, you know, honey, I can see how you'd think that way. I can see how that makes sense. Now, let me tell you where I'm coming from. And then you share your side. And if they will listen to you and ask you questions to clarify, they can honestly say to you, well, you know, honey, I see where you're coming from, and I can see how that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, how can we solve the problem? Because we're on the same team. We don't want to win an argument. You win an argument, your spouse lost.
Yeah.
It's no fun to live with a loser. Why
That's
would
right.
you create one, you know? So be different. Allow it to be different. But then, now how can we solve the problem? And you look for something in the middle, you know, that maybe you can both agree on. Or maybe one of you will go to the other side and say, you know, I think in this situation, I think let's go with your idea.
Yeah, that's very good. You know, when we talk about money management on this program, we say it's important to start with your values and priorities. You know, where is God taking us as a couple, and how can money be a tool to accomplish that? How important is it for couples to have common priorities and goals when it comes to managing their finances?
It's very, very helpful. In fact, I encourage couples to do that before they get married. Just sit down and talk about, you know, what do you feel about? For example, what do you feel about giving? You know, if one of you grew up and you've always tithed, give 10% of your money to God, and the other one didn't do that, you better discuss that before you get married, you know, and let's decide what we're going to do. The more we get on the same page before we get married, the more likely we can follow that plan and pattern. But if you didn't do it before you get married, then you've got to do it somewhere along the line, or are you going to be battling over these things, you know, week after week?
Yeah, very helpful. Let's talk for just a moment about the five love languages. Of course, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. We've talked about gift giving in light of Valentine's Day. Regardless of whether your spouse is a gift giver and that's their love language, you better have a gift ready by the end of the day today. But apart from Valentine's Day, Dr. Chapman, how should couples think about the five love languages, specifically in light of reconciling their differences about managing money?
Well, I think if people learn each other's primary love language, and they speak it on a regular basis, and then drop the others in, you know, just for cherries on top of the ice cream. I think they create an emotional climate in which it's going to be easier to handle their conflicts. Because when you feel loved by the other person, that you know they're there for you, and you have that emotional sense of feeling loved, it just creates a positive climate so that we can do what I suggested earlier, listen to each other empathetically and put ourselves in their shoes and then focus on solving the difference rather than trying to win an argument with our spouse. So I think understanding the love languages and speaking their primary love language makes a huge difference in terms of solving conflicts about money.
That's well said. Well, we're about out of time, just about 30 seconds left. What message do you want to leave with couples on this Valentine's Day?
Well, I'd say make the most of today. You know, do something. Do something, but don't let it be the only time that you express love to them. And gifts is not the only way to express love. Get your spouse's love language down, heavy doses of that, sprinkle in the others for extra credit. You're going to have a growing marriage.
I love it. Dr. Chapman, always appreciate our time with you, sir. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be with you.
All right. That's Dr. Gary Chapman. He's the author of The Five Love Languages and the author of Now You're Speaking My Language. Hey, it's probably too late for you still to get that reservation at your favorite restaurant, but it's probably not too late to go down to your bookstore and pick up Now You're Speaking My Language. So if you don't have a gift, maybe I just fix that for you today and you can make it a great Valentine's Day. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey, helping you apply God's wisdom to the practical decisions you're making today. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All right, I'm ready to go. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. Let's dive in today. We'll begin in Indiana. Hi, Carrie. How can I help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 401k from a previous employer. I quit quite a while ago in 2015, and it's just been sitting there. And it doesn't have any fees, but I also can't contribute to it. And I also have a portable pension from that same employer. I am currently working for the government, so I couldn't roll it over. And I was just kind of wondering if I can still roll it over to an existing IRA Roth that I have, or would I have to, I mean, can I consolidate them all into a new IRA, or
yes,
what the best thing to do?
Absolutely. So the 401k that you have is the traditional version. It was the money went in pre-tax. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And then you have beyond that an existing traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. Is that correct?
Just the IRA Roth.
Okay. The Roth IRA. Okay. Yeah. So as long as, so you've got to keep them in the same tax treatment. So the 401k, and then you said beyond that, you also have another type of account. What was it?
A portable pension. And then
I
also have a whole life policy too, that I was thinking of cashing out since I have term life insurance. So I have two different policies. I didn't know if I could just consolidate them all or if that's a good idea.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, definitely with the with the portable pension that went in pre-tax and the 401k, those could be combined into one new IRA. You'd have to open it because it can't go into the Roth, but you could open a new traditional IRA and then you'd roll over those assets in. What would be the total of the two if you were to combine them?
It's probably about $60,000.
Okay, yeah. And then what do you have in the Roth IRA currently?
It's about $10,000.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so you're probably right there on the edge of having enough in the way of investable assets to hire an advisor. So the only question, you know, when you move out of the 401k and the pension is, what am I going to do with the money? And in one respect, it's good going into the IRA because you have unlimited options. But part of the challenge is you have unlimited options. So, you know, you've either got to make those decisions yourself as to what investments am I buying and what's the right mix of stocks and bonds and what types of stocks and how much is, you know, what is too aggressive and what's not aggressive enough. So, you know, I think that's perhaps the next consideration is, are you going to make those decisions yourself, or do you have somebody that you could turn to, a financial advisor that you have an existing relationship with, or somebody that you would hire? But I like the idea of you rolling it into the IRA. It simplifies it. You know, those two, the pension and the 401k, would now be in one. And then, you know, you would, you know, have the flexibility of being able to, you know, pick the investments at that point. Do you have a relationship with an advisor?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be the way you would go there. And then tell me about the whole life policy.
Well, my parents set it up for me when I was like 12, and I just keep paying on it. But I'm like, I don't know if it's not very much. It's a $50,000 policy. I think the cash out value is like $13,000 right now.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't roll that into the IRA, but you could surrender the policy and take out the cash. if you don't need it, or you've got enough coverage through a primary, let's say, term policy. You know, so you would want to make sure you're properly covered with enough death benefit to meet the needs on, you know, if you're married, on you, payable to your spouse, and vice versa. Or if you had any other dependents that were counting on you for income, you know, you want to make sure you have enough insurance there. But this policy is probably not serving that purpose, just given the amount of death benefit, how old it is. It's going to get increasingly expensive, and you could probably do better with that money elsewhere. So you'd surrender it out, and then you could, you know, make Roth IRA contributions with it or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So I like the idea of you rolling out the pension and the 401k. I'd talk to your advisor about that. It would be a non-taxable event as long as it went into a new traditional IRA that you open, and then it could be managed at that point, and again, have complete discretion over what you select from that point forward. So hopefully that helps you, Carrie. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Bob. How can I help?
Hey, Rob, thank you for taking my call. Got a question. My daughter is looking to buy a house or land to build a house, and she wants to pay cash, and then somebody talked to her about doing a delayed financing, which I'm not quite understanding what that is, where she can get her cash back and get a mortgage. I'm thinking that's what that is.
Right. Yeah. Essentially, that's what happens there with the delayed financing. Essentially, you're a cash buyer, so you have to have the ability to buy it without a mortgage, either by liquidating stocks and securities, or you have the money in savings. But then you can essentially delay the financing. And there's a variety of reasons why, from a planning standpoint, you might want to do that. But the key with the delayed financing is, number one, it has to be done within 6 months. Number two is a cash out refinance, which is typically what you would get if you go to a lender and you say, hey, I've had this property for a while, I want to get cash out. You might pay 3%, 4%, 5%, 6% for that. The delayed financing doesn't have those additional costs of cash out refinancing. So it allows you know, essentially to pay less and then lock in that rate, create that liquidity by getting that money back out. The question is why? If she's just doing it to try to get a little better interest rate in the next 6 months and she's got the money to do it, sure, she could. But because she can't go longer than 6 months, you'd need to just understand what's the real benefit to her. And I think that's where an advisor could help her plan through this. But yeah, definitely an option, and maybe a great option for her. I certainly don't have any problem with it. Thanks for your call, Bob. We're going to head to a break here in just a moment, but let me remind you, our team is away from the studios today, so don't call in, but we have lined up some great questions in advance. So when we come back, we'll dive into those as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, here at Faith and Finance, it's all about understanding the heart of God in our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. It's a game changer when we understand that as our starting point. More calls just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope. And now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You're in my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, it's all about equipping you with a biblical worldview. First and foremost, to encourage you to surrender your lives to Jesus, to place your full trust in Him for your salvation. And then beyond that, which is the biggest decision you will ever make, it's all about stewardship. How can we be stewards of what God has entrusted to us? Our time, our relationships, we're stewards of God's word and our talents and skills, and yes, His resources, the financial resources that have been entrusted to us. How do we live with a biblical worldview in every area of our lives, including this area of money, understanding the heart of God from Scripture and applying that to the everyday decisions we make with His money? That's what we want to do on this program to help you do just that. Now, let's go to Mount Dora, Florida. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was speaking with my financial advisor today. I've been trying to live on my Social Security, and it's just not possible. And so I have an annuity I'm going to start cashing out. But he recommended this other annuity that would, if I put $360,000, cash out my mutual fund and add some cash to it, I would get 6% interest. I'd get income for life, something around $28,000 a year. Does that sound like a good plan? And it can go up to $38,000.
Okay, yeah. It certainly could be. I mean, I like the 6% guaranteed. Obviously, we want to match your investment plan with your needs, not taking any unnecessary risk, but also making sure you're provided for and that you have enough income. What is your shortfall per month just based on your other guaranteed income sources? How much do you really need on a monthly basis?
Well, I've just been trying to live on my Social Security, and I'm not making it. I probably need another $2,000 a month. I do have some money in the bank, and then I have another annuity I could cash out, and I have these money market funds. But, you know, they go up and down, and so I wanted something a little bit more stable.
Sure. Okay. So you said you need another couple of thousand a month. What are you bringing in right now? Just Social Security?
Yes.
Okay, and how much are you getting per month there?
After they take out the tax and the other medical, it's about $2,600.
Okay. And you need about $4,500?
Well, I think with all the bills and repairs that have been coming up, I do.
Okay, yeah, no, yes. That's fine. I want you to have a good understanding of that, and perhaps, you know, you doing a deeper dive into your spending plan would be a good idea. Now, tell me what assets you have today. What investable assets do you have in total?
What do you mean investable assets?
So you said you mentioned an annuity, you mentioned money market. Give me a kind of a rundown of what you
have. I have annuity. I have this money market with $260,000. I have a couple IRAs. They don't have a lot of money. And let me see what else.
What's the value of the annuity?
The annuity that I have, let me check. I have a pill. Actually, I have two. One, the value right now is $27,000, but the other one is, $117,000.
Okay. All right. And how much are you pulling any income from either of those? Are you making up that shortfall every month right now out of the money market?
I've been just paying out of my savings account.
And is savings separate from the money market, or are those the same thing?
Yes, what I have in the bank. I have a savings account and a checking account, so I've been paying out of that.
Yeah, and how much do you have in savings?
$100,000, and the same in checking.
Got it, and another $100,000 in checking. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Well, I mean, if we put all of this together, you've got about $150,000 in the annuities. You've got another $250,000, so that's $400,000 between the money market and the annuity, and then $200,000 on top of that. So you've got about $600,000 all in. So if we were to take that $600,000 and pull out 6 months' worth of expenses. So let's say your expenses are $4,500, and so let's just say you need $50,000 for 6 months. So you'd have, let's say you put that in savings. So you've got $50,000 savings, and you were to take that $550,000 that remains and invest it. You know, that should throw off that $2,000 a month that you need, where over time you don't have any decrease. Now, in any given month or quarter or even year, you may have a decline. But the idea would be that over time, as long as you're pulling out no more than 4%, which is, 4% of $550,000 is $22,000. So that's not quite $2,000 a month, but it's close. That should be able to be maintained, where you could maintain the principal balance and pull out the income that you need, which means you still have your $550,000 available if you need it down the road. That's one of the downsides to the annuity is, although, yes, they have a place and it is a way for you to transfer the risk from yourself and the stock market to an insurance company for a guaranteed return, you're losing access to the money without surrender charges and penalties. And so I guess what I'm saying is I want you to have plenty of liquidity. So that's why I'm saying let's at a minimum put 6 months worth of your expenses, the total expenses, in savings so that you've got that there. But the idea is that it's just an emergency fund. You're not touching it unless you have something truly unexpected. And then you take the roughly $550,000, and I'm totaling up checking and savings and annuity and money market and IRAs. And we invest that in, probably, what did you say your age was?
71.
Okay. So at 71, I mean, typically, and this is just a rule of thumb, you'd probably have maybe 40%, 30 to 40% in stocks, or maybe 30% in stocks, 10% in gold, and then the rest in bonds. And that, more conservative portfolio would have some growth factor, could allow you to pull out that 4% a year and still at least maintain, if not grow, the balance a little bit. And you'd hire an advisor to build and oversee that portfolio for you. Now, you are at the risk of the stock and bond market. You can lose value. So you'd have to be okay with that. But I'm just saying that's another alternative where you're not locking up the majority of your money into an insurance product where you can't get to it, even though there are benefits, and you named the primary one, which is that guaranteed rate of return. So I might just get a second or a third opinion before you make the decision. We recommend, of course, the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. You could connect with two or three CKAs there in Florida on our website, faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA and talk about the other scenarios. And you may decide that the annuity is the very best thing for you. I just want to make sure you know that there's other options. Does that all make sense, though?
Yeah. So by putting all this in, I'm not leaving. Well, I'm leaving $100,000 out in cash that I would have by putting $100,000 in. I'd be leaving $100,000 out in cash that I would still have, and the rest would be tied up in the annuity.
Okay, right. Yeah.
So you'd still have $100,000 in cash, which is good. I think the key is I want to make sure that we're solving for what you really need, which is $2,500 a month. And I want to do that in a way, if possible, where you can still have access to your capital, both what you have aside for emergencies and beyond that. Let's say you needed long-term care and that was going to be $10,000 a month or, you know, something like that, where you could get to the money if you need it. So certainly I'm not opposed to what you're talking about. Not all annuities are created equal. So that's why I'd get a second or a third opinion from a certified Kingdom advisor. I hope that helps, Linda. Thanks for your call. Back with much more right after this. Stick around.
When we talk about politics, we tend to, as Christians, kind of set aside our faith and say, well, in the political arena, I identify more as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative versus a liberal. The biblical worldview genuinely is the foundation and the basis for everything that we do, including our involvement in and analyzing civil government.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. In our final segment today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk to Sandy Rios. She is no stranger to these airways, but we want to tell you about her biography, a brand new book out called God's Velvet Hammer, How an Ordinary Girl Was Called to Do Extraordinary Things. She's, of course, the host of the new podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7. She is a wonderful representative of the American Family Association, and you've been listening to her, no doubt, for years and years. Sandy, a true delight to have you on the program.
Thank you, Rob. You're so kind. Everybody's going to want to know if you're going to ask me about how to handle money. Is that my role in the show?
Yeah, no.
I have some opinions.
Well, why don't we start there? Give us your best advice for money and Sandy Rios.
Never let money be your motivation, ever, ever, especially if you're in the ministry. Don't do it.
Isn't that
so good?
There you
go. How's that?
Well, and that segues really well into your life, Sandy, because you really have followed God's call to some extraordinary places and seen his faithfulness every step of the way. There's so many directions we could go in exploring your life, but just give us the broad brush overview.
Well, I think, the subtitle tells it. I am from a town of 6,000. My father didn't graduate from the eighth grade, and my mother's family were like the family in Grapes of Wrath, poor, picking fruit in California because they couldn't survive during the Depression. That's who I come from. Those are my people. And so I'm grateful. I was raised in a small town with very good values. My folks came to Christ early. So I was a Christian girl. I became to Christ myself at 9, and those were my beginnings. But I would just say, if you fast forward into the book, you see that God took me so many places to do so many unimaginable things, at least not to me. North Korea. I did the first American broadcast in Radio Moscow, maybe the only, wow. actually, Rob, as far as wow. I know. I was a professional singer. I had a number four song on the charts with Michael English. I sang for the Chicago Bears during their Super Bowl years, like three times. I got to know Mike Ditka, a lot of the wow. players. I ended up being the president of Concerned Women for America in Washington, yes. D.C., where I have stayed connected all these years, which is what makes me know what I do know about politics and news. It's a panoply of experience. I got lost jogging. I traveled all in many different countries, including India. I tell those stories. I was married for 20 years, and then I was single for 18 more. And I talk about that. I talk about being single. I raised a severely disabled child who required full care, who I had to feed and bathe and lift. And I love my daughter, Sasha. And that was the early part of my adult life. There's a lot more, Rob, but I think I better. That kind of gives people an idea, right?
It does. And I want to invite you to pick up a copy of this book so you can chase each of these stories that Sandy just mentioned, because they're all fascinating. Sandy, what is really the primary message or takeaway for the audience as they read this in your mind?
You know, I guess if I could say it without crying, I'll never get over that. Whenever the spirit moves me, Rob, I cry. So people say, what's wrong? Nothing. I just, nothing. I think of my life, but it's not just my life. It's people who are sold out to God through his son, Jesus Christ. I think of standing on a cliff with my arms up and leaning forward and jumping off. Wow. That's what I did. And God guided me through and still is guiding me through the most incredible adventures that I would never have guessed. Now, that's not for adventure. I mean, that's great. That's just a benefit.
Yes.
But it's serving him. It's bringing the gospel to Japan in a unique way, as God gave me the wisdom to see that unique way. It's talking to the English language KGB agent in Radio Moscow about God, talking to him. It's been God using me, no doubt about it. It's always silly because I am one of those foolish things that you would never choose. I hang out in D.C. All my friends are names you would know, with titles you would respect, and with degrees that you would draw, your jaw would drop. I'm not one of those, but they are my friends, and they trust me, and God has used me. And that atmosphere, and that I'll never get over that. I'll never understand that.
Yes.
And yet that is what God has done, because I was that young girl who jumped off the cliff for him.
I love that picture. You know, we see this in Scripture. So many of the people that God has used and continues to use felt ill-equipped going in. Here you are, an ordinary girl from a small town growing up with humble means, and yet God called you to do extraordinary things. Sandy, what would you say to that person feeling that call in their life today and feeling that they're ill-equipped?
Well, it isn't about you. It's certainly not about me. And so just jump off the cliff and take it one day at a time. And my experience, I think someone told me when I was younger, and I was my heart was broken over my daughter's condition, and it was such a long time. She was sick so much. It was hard. It was a real crucible of pain. And someone said to me, Sandy, who God would use much must suffer much. Mm. Now, none of us want to sign up for that. But when you jump off that cliff, you have to expect this is going to happen also. Yes, there will be incredible blessing beyond your comprehension, but you will have to share in his sufferings as the disciples did. And so if you're willing to do that, then jump off and come join me on this great adventure, because God has a path for you too that you can't even imagine.
Mm. Well, there's so many fascinating stories in here, Sandy. I'd love to get you to just comment on one of them. You're inside North Korea, and it's 9/11. Talk about that.
Well, the strange thing was we were not planning to go there. We were in northern Manchuria interviewing refugees from North Korea. I mean, this was very dangerous in itself, Rob. They were hiding in caves, hiding in homes, and we did a number of interviews, which is a whole story. And then someone from that was who our contact was in Northern Manchuria, said, would you like to go to North Korea? Well, that was a shock because 2001, no one was going to, no one was going to North Korea. So six of us crossed that border on foot on the Tumon River Bridge with the guns of the guards pointed at us. We spent about 24 hours there, maybe two. I honestly can't remember if it was one or two nights, but it was so bleak, so dangerous, so oppressive, Rob, that when I crossed that bridge back into northern Manchuria, China felt free. So on the day of 9/11, the first 9/11 when the World Towers fell and the planes hit the Pentagon, we had no idea. There was no information getting through in North Korea. We had no idea. So we were clueless. We were going to, I don't want to get too much of a sidetrack because I know we have a time limitation, but let me just say, we were doing a lot of very interesting things, seeing schools, and it was just jaw-dropping to see Kim Jong-il at the time. There were pictures of him posed as Jesus, like those old Sunday school pictures, those renderings that we had in our old Bibles. He copied those poses. He was with the little children. He was feeding the 5,000. And they had his, this is because he hates Christianity. Yeah. And if you get caught with the Bible, three generations of your family were killed. So when we came back across that bridge into freedom, that's when we found out, it's an interesting story, and I hate people when people say this, it is in the book. When I come back and we are greeted by our host there, we were just devastated to learn. I thought World War III might have broken out. I thought maybe I'd never get home to see my children. Yeah. So that's what it was like in part.
Wow. Wow. Well, Sandy, let's fast forward to today. You're right there in Washington, D.C. As you mentioned, you have the privilege of advocating on behalf of the gospel and Christian values. Sandy, try to just describe where you believe we find ourselves today as a nation and what's at stake in this upcoming election.
I've said this every year that I've covered the election, and that's been a lot of years. I've been to all the conventions in the last probably 20 years, and I've always said that this election is the most important. But I have to say that there's no doubt this election is the most important. I think we are in danger. I see it. I feel it. I touch it. I taste it of complete and total destruction of our country in this next 9 months. I don't know if we can bring it back. But the only way we can bring it back is to elect the right person. Because I would just say this, the person sitting in the office right now is cooperating with the destruction, and so are the people behind him. It's dangerous. It's probably more dangerous than people even can comprehend because some people have tuned out, don't want to listen anymore. If I could just have a moment to tell you, the Chinese have plans for us, and they're imminent. They're young Chinese... military-age men are crossing the border in droves. They're setting up camps in Central and South America. These are dangerous times. So, first of all, Jesus is always our Savior. But we do care about our country. We do care about our children and our grandchildren. So we have to be responsible citizens until we have no ability to do that anymore.
That's right. Well, Sandy, that's a great word. I wish we had more time to unpack so many of these stories and let you expand on that. But I'm going to encourage folks to go pick up a copy of this book, God's Velvet Hammer, from Sandy Rios, how an ordinary girl was called to do extraordinary things. And I'm confident that you will take away God's faithfulness. You will also be challenged to lean into your story in whatever way God is writing it and jump off that cliff with arms outstretched, surrendered to God's purposes in your life. Sandy Rios, we're so thankful for you, the work that you're doing there in D.C., for your Sandy Rios podcast, and for the few moments we had to spend with you today. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you so much.
All right. Folks, get it wherever you buy books. Again, it's called God's Velvet Hammer from Sandy Rios. Well, that's going to do it for us today. I'm so thankful you were along with us. I couldn't do this without my amazing team, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, and the amazing Pat Montague as well. Have a great rest of your day. Go out and serve Jesus and make God your ultimate treasure. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.